Right, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning here at Lighthouse Discipleship Center. My name is Dave Everett, and we're going to be continuing our teaching series this morning on Beholding His Goodness. This is part two. I'm not sure how many parts I'll have for this one. But anyway, thank you for joining us. Just so you know, all of our teachings are archived on our website at lighthousediscipleship.org, as well as our YouTube channel, Lighthouse Discipleship Center. We also want to say thank you to all those who have partnered with us with their tithes and their offerings. Excuse me. In case you're wondering how to do so, you can simply go to our website again at lighthousediscipleship.org. And you go to the right top corner. It says give. It's a blue button. You click on the button, you can give them anywhere around the world. But with all those announcements aside, let's go ahead and jump into our teaching this morning. So let's go ahead and jump right into the book of Exodus, where we were last week, and part of our introduction last week, where we talked about how Moses, in the Exodus, he had a conversation with God. He said, "Lord, please show me your glory." And God's immediate response to that was, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." And there's more that I can expound on that, which I did last week, and also into chapter 34 when this actually took place. But I just want to kick off the message this morning with this little intro of again that Moses asked the Lord, "Show me your glory." And God's response to that was, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." So in other words, just to make a quick little point again, God's glory is his goodness. Now there's many aspects to that goodness. And another way of saying this, God's glory is his nature. And his nature, among many attributes that are expounded in the context even here that I have not read, is his goodness. It includes his goodness. And he says, all my goodness. There's many aspects of his goodness that are represented in the nature of God, in the glory of God. Okay, does that make sense? That's not a major point I'm trying to make in this series, but it's a supporting point, supplement point that I'm trying to make as we go forward. Okay, so another thing I want to just highlight this morning is I've entitled this message. I'll go back real quick. Beholding His Goodness, but I could very well have retitled this "Faith in His Goodness." Okay, why do I say that? Because the revelation of the goodness of God, the revelation of the glory of God, of the goodness of God, it helps our faith to grow. We all have faith. It says in Romans 12:3, but we all have the measure of faith. There's a definite article there. We all have the same measure of faith. But we haven't all learned how to exercise it. Like a baby with the muscles. I have all the muscles a baby has. But a baby has not learned to exercise those muscles yet. They can't crawl, they can't sit up, they can't walk and talk, and many other things that you and I have learned to do throughout the years. And there's some things you can do that I can't do because I haven't learned how to develop those specific muscles, and vice versa. Okay? See, we have a faith of God, but many have not learned how to access it. And therefore, they limit God, which is a whole other teaching, okay? But understanding his goodness does more for my faith than studying faith. I'm all for studying faith. I've studied faith. I've taught on faith. And I think that's all good. But understanding the goodness of God has done more for my faith than actually studying faith. Because I'm studying the nature of God. I'm studying the attributes, including his goodness, and specifically his goodness. And that just activates my faith. Okay? It makes faith come alive. It helps me access his grace by faith. Because my faith becomes alive. I start seeing, I start beholding with the spiritual eyes, with the mind's eye, if I can put it that way, and a whole other message, but through my imagination, what I see, as we are created in the image and likeness of God, we can speak things, and they exist. I'm not saying we are the creator, but we can call those things as not as though they are. That's what Abraham did. He was our father in the faith. Again, there's many other aspects. I'm not talking about faith so much this morning. But when I understand the goodness of God, my faith becomes alive. Because my faith is not in me. My faith is not in what I'm doing. My faith must be in God and God alone. And as I understand the nature of God, the goodness of God, my faith is revived, activated. So I have faith in the living God. And when I have faith in the living God, in His grace, I start seeing results. And I start talking different. I start speaking different. And I start speaking words of faith. And things happen. Mountains move. Waters part. People get healed. People get set free. And I see the goodness of God manifested in my midst. Hopefully that makes sense. So that's all introduction. Now last week, when we were talking about the goodness of God, I took us down the road to the many Psalms. We looked how His goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. We looked at His favor surrounds us like a shield. We looked at how wealth and riches are in our house, and we are the house of God. We looked at how all of our sins are forgiven. All our diseases are healed. He crowns our life with loving kindness. He redeems our lives from destruction. And our youth is renewed like the eagles, and He satisfies our mouth with good things. Some of the things that got out of order from Psalm 103. We also learn how we lack no good thing, and we have pleasures forevermore. All different psalms that I've talked about last week under the umbrella of talking about beholding His goodness. We'll have to go to the archives and we listen to last week's message. And I kind of walk through the Psalms talking about beholding His goodness. Today I want to continue talking about beholding His goodness, but I want to transition to the New Testament. So we're going to be looking at various scriptures from the New Testament as we unpack this message, this topic about beholding His goodness. So the first one we're going to go to, if you turn with me in your Bibles, is Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, and we'll pick it up in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness," that's the word we're talking about, "faithfulness," or in the Greek to be more accurate, faith, or full of faith, "gentleness, self-control, or temperance, and against such things there's no law." So this is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is also known as the nature of God. And God's nature is not just love, joy, and peace, and we seem to focus on those a lot, and I focus on the temperance and self-control a lot, but one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, and that's what we're talking about. The nature of God is goodness. It's all the other attributes of the fruits of the Spirit, but we're talking about the goodness of God, so that's what I'm going to focus on. Okay? And so, the nature of God is goodness. And the fruit of the Spirit, if we're born again, if Christ is in us, His Spirit is in us, we're born again, then the nature of God, His fullness is in us. And of His nature of the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. So goodness is inside us. Goodness is inside you. Goodness is inside me if you're born again. We're not trying to get it. We already have it. It's in us. It's fruit. It's the nature of God. Goodness lives in us. We can draw on this, just like we can draw love and joy and peace. And some of you religious-minded people are like, it doesn't work that way. Well, then self-control. You can never control yourself. You can never, I see it all the time, especially on Facebook, people telling people to repent, don't sin, repent, don't sin. Well, if you can't have self-control and temperance, then you can never not sin. And in the same connotation, the goodness of God the fruit of the Spirit, which is the goodness of God, works the same way as self-control, love, joy, peace, and etc. Okay? And so, the fruit of the Spirit works the same way. Am I making sense? I just had to go down a rabbit trail to debunk anyone who might have a religious mindset this morning. Okay? The nature of God is in us. And we can draw on the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the temperance of God, self-control. But we can also draw on His goodness. It's inside of us. His goodness is the fruit of the Spirit. Just like love is in you and is supposed to flow through you, the goodness of God is in you and supposed to flow through you. Okay? It's for you, it's in you, and it's supposed to flow through you. All the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit operate that way. They're in you, they're for you, and they flow through you. Okay? And so, we're talking about the goodness of God. It's in you, it's for you, and it flows through you. We can live on the level of the goodness of God. Just like we can live on the level of God's love, and God's joy, and God's peace, and God's self-control, temperance. We can live on that level. Despite what's going on in the world, the fruit of the Spirit can help us navigate through the world, through this world. Because we are different than the world. We're not of the world. We are born again, and we have the fruit, the nature of God, which includes goodness. We are not, in the parable of the sower, we have the seed that fell in the third soil, the thorny soil, where the cares of this world choke out the word, choke out the nature of God, choke out the promises of God, choke out the fruit of the Spirit, if you will, including the goodness of God, the nature of God. See, the nature of God, the fruit of the Spirit, is not natural. It's spiritual. It's eternal. And it's not affected by the things of this world. And we can live on the level of all these attributes. I could do a whole message on each one of these and say the same thing. But we're talking about the goodness of God. We're talking about beholding His goodness. And we can live on the level, no matter what's going on in the world, that we are living on the level of beholding His goodness. Because we have a revelation of the goodness of God. Now let's go to the book of John. Excuse me. Book of John, we'll pick up verse in chapter 10. Excuse me. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 10. And I believe I shared some of this last week, but if not, we'll read it again. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill, to destroy. And Jesus speaking, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Talk about the abundant life. And I'll talk about the abundant life in just a moment. Okay? But let me just say this. The abundant life is the goodness of God. It's good. Abundant life is a good thing. It's a promise. Jesus said that He came, that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. Okay? Now, keep this in mind, just in your backdrop. When Jesus said this, and many of the other promises He said, because this is a promise. This is a promise. It's a warning, but it's a promise too. Okay? He said this, you know, when Jesus walked the earth, the 3.5 years He walked the earth, and the 3.5 years of His ministry, there was Roman oppression going on. Slavery. There was political oppression. There was economic oppression. Israel was not free at the time. They were oppressed. Many times throughout their history, they were oppressed. And this is one of them. They were under Roman oppression. Okay? Yet Jesus never, I don't see any scripture about Jesus speaking against the Romans. Jesus did speak against the religious leaders. Okay? And my point is, He said these things during hard times. There are hard times going on in our lives, in our world, in our country, in many countries around the world. These promises are not subject to what the hard times you may be going through as a nation or a people or a tribe or whatever it might be. The promises of God are yes and amen. Okay? We Let me just go back. We have the nature of God. And it is not contingent on what's going on in the world around us. Okay? Yes, we have a devil. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Okay? But this is verse 10. Many of us stop there. Let's go to verse 11. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. We're talking about the goodness of God. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's talking about the cross. Okay, he is a good shepherd. Okay? He's a good shepherd. We have the goodness of God. He's a good shepherd. But this is also kind of a continuation of something I did share last week. Let's go here real quick. And that is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I didn't read the whole Psalm 23. But I continued on to verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, so when Jesus said, I am a good shepherd, I believe in many ways that was a prophecy, prophetic, of him being the good shepherd. Of him, when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He guides us, he leads us. His goodness and mercy, they follow us all the days of our life. One point I want to make is, God has never changed. God did not change from old covenant to new covenant. We have a better covenant, amen. But God has never changed. God, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He leads us, he guides us, he prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. God is our shepherd, and he's a good shepherd. Okay? Okay? This has already happened. He's not going to be a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd. And when we get a revelation of who he is and what he's a good shepherd, according to Philemon 1:6, and I'll be referring back to this many times today, our faith, remember I already talked about faith, our faith becomes effective, it becomes activated when we acknowledge every good thing, there's that word good again, that was in us. And one of the good things that's in us is our good shepherd. Another good thing that's in us is the fruit of the Spirit. It's inside of us. See, grace is everything God has given us. And God has given us a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd and we shall not be in want. We have a good shepherd. Okay? Because he is good. And when we have a good shepherd and we know we have a good shepherd, we can help navigate through this world and not be affected by the cares of this world. Okay? Because we have the fruit of the Spirit and we have the goodness of God and we have a good shepherd who is guiding us and leading us in all things. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Several scriptures this morning. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And Paul says this, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God gave us Jesus, if God redeemed us, if God delivered up him for us all, how much more will he not give us all things? If he gave us Jesus, why would he hold anything back? Because the most important thing you and I can have is Jesus. The most important thing that you can do is receive Jesus. We all want to go to heaven and none of us want to go to hell. And that is essential. It's essential to have abundant life. But we also need to understand by the revelation of the Spirit of God that he who did not spare his own son, how much more will he not give us all things? Now we'll be looking at the scripture a little bit later in a little more detail. But it's to the knowledge of God. He's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. And yet, coming back to the verse that we already looked at, as our faith becomes effectual as we acknowledge every good thing that's in us. And we already have everything for life and goodliness. How much more will he not give us all things? And when we acknowledge these things, our faith becomes activated. We need to behold the goodness of God. We need to have faith in the goodness of God. See, it says, going back here to Romans chapter 8, verse 3, how shall he now with him also freely give us all things? I highlighted the word freely here. Because it's free. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. It's called grace. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? It's free. It's not conditioned. There's no conditions on this. Okay? Jesus, when he sent out the disciples, he said, freely you have received, freely give. And I can use many more scriptures about this freely. We need to meditate on his goodness. We need to meditate on the word of God. We need to meditate on his goodness. We need to behold the goodness of God. It's free. We need to imagine it. We need to see it with the mind's eye. And if you can't see it, pray for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. And if piggyback on my last series, if you can't see it, perhaps you have an old covenant veil over your face. And you need to receive Jesus to remove that veil. So you can see, because your mind is blinded. See, go back here real quick. God gave us Jesus. How much more will he not freely give us all things? Why would he withhold anything else from you if he already gave you Jesus? Okay? Being blessed, let me just say this. Being blessed gives glory to God. I'm going to keep piggybacking on this point, too. This is a sub-point that I'm making, but God wants us blessed. God wants you and I fruitful. Sickness, lack, do not glorify God. See, it says in Acts 1:8 that we are to be, we're to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We've already talked about the Holy Spirit a little bit this morning. Talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And you shall be witnesses to me. What's a witness? A witness testifies what they see, what they've experienced, what they heard. When a witness goes on the witness stand, they don't give prophecy. They don't say, I didn't see anything, but this is what's going to happen. They don't get on the witness stand and say, I think this happened. Someone else told me this happened. Okay, that can be hearsay. A witness testifies what they have experienced, what they have seen, what they saw, what they heard. And sometimes, maybe a professional, their knowledge on a subject, like a doctor or whatever it might be. Okay, we are to be witnesses of Jesus. Okay? And we've already established that the nature of God is love, joy, peace, goodness, self-control, etc. We should be testifying of the goodness of God. And it's going to be hard for you to testify of the goodness of God if you're sick, if you're lacking, if you're suffering. I'm not getting on your case. I'm telling you, you might be going through something, but there's an answer to be free from your sickness, from your pain, from your lack, or whatever you're going through, so that you can testify of the goodness of God and glorify God, because God's good glory is his goodness, and you glorify God when you are experiencing the goodness of God in your life. You don't give God glory when you say, God's good, but I'm sick like a dog. I'm black. I'm as poor as a church mouse. I can't help you. I can't be a blessing to you. All I can do is panhandle and ask for you to support me. And I'm being facetious. I'm being sarcastic. But many religion has painted the church wrong. We become beggars. We become just as sick as the world. No, we are different. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are the children of God, and we should be testifying of the goodness of God that we have freely given, so we will freely give. Okay? Well, Pastor Dave, how are we going to win the lost? We're supposed to testify. We're supposed to testify to tell people to repent. No, we're supposed to tell everyone the goodness of God, because the goodness of God leads to repentance. Romans 2:4. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. You testify of Jesus. You need to be a witness. God did not call you to be a lawyer. God did not call you to be a judge. God did not call you to be a jury. God called you to be a witness, to testify of the goodness of God, and the goodness of God will lead to repentance. We've lost our testimony. Your testimony is that you're just as sick as the world, you're just as poor as the world, you're just as suffering as the world, you have no influence in the world. People should look at your life and say, I don't know what you got, but I want it. Why is your life different? Why do you look like you're in Goshen while we're in Egypt? Why is everything you touch become blessed like Joseph, like Daniel, and so many other ones? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. It just keeps getting better and better. This ties in almost everything I just said already this morning. We have the spirit of God. What's the spirit of God? Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, etc. Goodness. We have the spirit of God, not the spirit of the world. We're different. That, why do we have the Spirit of God? There's many aspects of the Spirit of God. One is to be a witness, which I've already talked about. One is so we can walk in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, goodness, kindness, etc. But it says here that we have the Spirit of God that we might know the things that have been given freely, there's that word freely again, given to us by God. We have the Spirit of God so that we can know who we have and what we have from God. Folks, some of us need to write the scripture and put it on our mirror, put it on our foreheads every morning, and that we have the Spirit of God who's there to teach us all the things that have been freely given to us by God. Some of you keep praying for God to give you something when He has already given it to you. You just need a revelation of the Holy Spirit to receive it. And stop trying to get it. Receive what He's already given you. You've already got it. Stop chasing your tail. I'm not getting on you. I'm trying to help you. We already have the Spirit of God. We already have His goodness. And it's been given to us freely by God. Okay? How shall He not freely give us all things? He's already given it to us. We need the Spirit of God to reveal it to us. He's freely given to us. We need to get it by revelation of the Holy Spirit. We have it. I'm going back and forth on my slides. I'm sorry about that. But we have it. But we need the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. Some of you, I'm going to say this as kind and gracious as I can, some of you just need to shut up and listen to the Holy Spirit. Stop whining and complaining, squalling and wailing, and listen to the Spirit of God who will show you all the things that you've freely given to you by God. You have the Spirit of God. You have His nature. You have His goodness. You have His word. You have the fullness of God. Of His fullness, we have all received in grace for grace. We're not complaining. We have the promises of God. And all the promises of God, let me get in there, all the promises of God are in Him, are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God. What's the glory of God? His nature. To the glory of God, who? Through us. It's in you. It's supposed to flow through you. God's glory is His goodness, all His goodness. We've already established that from Exodus. Okay? Behold them. Meditate on Him. Meditate on His word. Meditate on His goodness. Meditate on His nature. Behold it. We're talking about beholding His goodness. Meditate. Get into your system. Get grounded. Get rooted. Get so saturated and imbued into it. And then you begin to speak it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what you're speaking with your imagination, you begin to create things as though they're not. And I say that right, but you begin to create things. You're like, we're not the creator. We are made in His image. We are made in His likeness. We're made in the image of God, nature of God. I'm paraphrasing. You can read it for yourself. What did God do in Genesis chapter 1? And God said, let there be light. And it was light. God said, it was this. And everything that God said, He said, it was good. We're talking about the goodness of God. We're made in His likeness. We're redeemed. We are a child of God. It says in 2 Corinthians, we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We believe and we speak. Some of you, I know where you are in your walk with God by your mouth. He satisfies your mouth with good things. That can speak towards food, but that can also speak to the words coming out of your mouth. James says, out of your mouth is good water and bitter water. I'm paraphrasing. James says, my brothers, these things ought not to be. Some of you spend more time complaining, wallowing, and squalling with your stinking mouth. I say that with grace. And you need to start speaking words of faith. Because you have a revelation of the goodness of God. Some of you are so, the words that you speak, the words God has spoken, are so choked by the cares of this world. And you're not being fruitful. You're not seeing a harvest 30, 60, 100 fold, as it talks about in the parable of the sower. Why? Because you've choked out God's word. And the words out of your mouth, you're not being a witness of the goodness of God. You're wallowing, complaining, whining, and crying. You're having a spiritual temper tantrum. I mean, there was a post on Facebook this week, and I wasn't trying to be insensitive, but the post has something to do, we have no food, we have no money, no nothing. How many times did Jesus come across a situation where there was the multitudes? And they were hungry, and the disciples said, we have no food, we have no money. What did Jesus say? He told His disciples, you feed them. And when they were still baffled at how you expect us to feed them, we don't have enough money, there's not even a market, there's not a Walmart nearby, there's nothing we can do. What did Jesus do? He took the boys' lunch, and He gave thanks, He multiplied, and He fed them up to them. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do, and even greater works you will do. I understand physically, naturally, you have no money, but you have the goodness of God. You have the nature of God. You have the presence of God. You have the promises of God. Go and feed the multitudes. Go and feed your family. Go and do what God has called you to do. Hallelujah. I don't normally do this, but I just feel like doing this right now. Bashanga bakika na bashonga na basigi and the bakodi and the bashigi and the basi abakana bashigi and waso. You guys need to hear this right now. I don't know what the interpretation of that is. We'll get that later. But you guys need a revelation of the goodness of God and begin speaking it. See, the blessings, the promises of God are not automatic. All blessings are available to us. And we must receive them by faith. let me back up. Sorry, I just got distracted in my own mind. Let me bring it back. The blessings of God are not automatic. They are there. They are for you. They've been given to you. But you must receive them by faith. You must study and learn and behold the goodness of God to activate your faith to receive it. Am I making sense? Because this is very powerful right now. All right, we just got the interpretation of that tongue. Let the goodness of God spill out. I don't normally do that, but let the goodness of God flow out. Let it spill out. Let it flow like a river. Let it spill out. Let your cup overflow with His goodness, and it just spills over. The blessings of God are not automatic. They've been given to you, and they've been given to you freely. But you must receive it by faith. How do you receive it by faith? You study, you behold the goodness of God. It will activate your faith, and you just let it spill out by your meditation, by your imagination, and by the words that you speak. Let the goodness of God change your vocabulary, change your language, change your mindset. Good things will overtake you, but other good things, you have to overtake them. We have the fruit of the Spirit. I need to catch up with myself. Okay, here we go. You have the fruit of the Spirit. We need the knowledge of every good thing that's in us, so we can make our faith activated, effectual. How do we make it effectual? We acknowledge every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. How can you acknowledge it if you don't even know what you have? You need to study the Word of God. Last week I studied the Psalms. This week I'm studying the New Testament. You need to study the Word of God on the goodness of God. Okay? Faith, it will overtake you. This is how we do it, folks. I'm not just teaching you what, I'm teaching you how. If you will listen. Okay? Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. How God anointed. Picking up in the middle of Peter's sermon to Cornelius and his household, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. There's a lot in here. Jesus and his ministry went about doing good. Remember, there was Roman oppression going on. With the religious leaders, he was harsh towards them. But to the masses, he showed them the goodness of God. He showed them his goodness. He wasn't condoning their sin if that wasn't in play. He was showing God his goodness, his grace, his mercy. People were repenting left and right and receiving, he was healing all who were oppressed. And there's many ways to be oppressed. Some of that can be, yes, sickness. It can also be addiction. Addiction is oppression. Again. I love this part. But God was with him. Well, did we not already establish that God is in us? Okay? We need to know God is with us. God is in you. He's not here or there. He is in you. And God still wants to do good. God still wants to show you his glory and his glory, all of his goodness pass before you. God is wanting to show his goodness because he's given you Jesus. Again, I already said it, Jesus addressed them religiously, but just with the masses, he led them with compassion, showing them the goodness of God, doing good to all, healing all, manifesting the goodness of God. And that goodness led them to repentance. Okay? The glory of God. And all this glorified God. Because that's his glory. That's his glory. Okay? And again, why did God do all this? Because God was with him. God was with them, and God was showing all of his goodness. God was passing before them, showing his goodness. God was with them, just like he was with Moses. And he had all of his goodness pass before him, showing them his glory. God was doing that in the flesh through Jesus, his son. God was with him. God is in you. And God has filled you with his spirit that you might be a witness. He's filled you with all many aspects of his spirit, including the fruit of his spirit, which includes goodness. Folks, I want you to get this. God is in you. And all the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God, to the goodness of God, to the glory of God, through us. In you and through you. Okay? Rest in his goodness, and he will take care of everything. Get a revelation of his glory, of his goodness. Get a revelation of it and behold it. It will transform your life. It will transform your ministry. It will activate your faith so that it becomes effectual because you're acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. And your faith will be activated. It will become effectual. Despite the circumstances in the world, despite your own messes that you've made, you can use what I'm teaching this morning, the fruit of the Spirit. Let me see if I can go back here real quick. I hope I'm not going too far. His nature to navigate all the cares of this world. Stop beholding the cares of the world. Your finances, your body, what's going wrong. Stop beholding that and behold the goodness of God. Know who God is. Know his glory. Know his goodness. Know his nature. Okay? Know who you are with him. See, I can tell you how you're doing in your relationship with God by your response to what you think about God and how you see yourself. What you think about God and how you see yourself, I can tell you how you're doing in a relationship with God. Do you think that God's out to get you? Do you think he's a hard taskmaster? Do you think that you're too far messed up, God can't use you? Or do you think that you can't see the glory of God because of this and that and all the different things that you've done wrong? Or are you acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus? Do you have a revelation that God is with you? Okay. See, no revelation. Those who don't have a healthy revelation of who God is and don't have a healthy revelation of who they are in him, in Christ Jesus. Okay? We don't have a healthy revelation of that. We're not resting in his goodness. Our faith is nowhere near his goodness. Nowhere near being in him. And therefore, our faith is not effectual because we're not acknowledging every good thing that's in us. Instead, our faith is in the cares of this world. It's called worry, but it's faith. It's called unbelief. Belief that's Our faith isn't us, what we're doing or what we're not doing, or how we messed up. Well, we're not seeing it because this is going on in our government, this is going on in our country. Well, Daniel didn't have that opinion. Moses didn't have the opinion of how Pharaoh, we can't get free because Pharaoh done this. No. He said, let my people go, but he refused them. So they saw the glory of God, the goodness of God. Joseph had a different view. Despite what his brothers did to him, he saw the goodness of God. Daniel was before multiple kingdoms, in multiple wicked kingdoms, and he still saw the goodness of God. Jesus, all the wickedness going on in Rome, and all the wickedness going on in the religious leaders, he saw the goodness of God. I can go on and on and on and tell you about how the goodness of God is not limited by what's going on around you. and the world and the church will not. The just shall live by his faith. And we are the righteous of God, and we live by our faith. And our faith becomes effectual when we acknowledge every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. See, most of us, because our focus is wrong, our revelation of God is wrong, religion teaches, see, God's not the problem. God's the answer. God's the solution. See, religion makes God the problem. You messed up, you didn't do this, and you didn't do that, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do that, or you did that, and you shouldn't have. In other words, if religion paints a picture, it's never enough. There's always a reason why we came short, or it's not enough, or we messed up. It's never enough. That's not the gospel. The gospel is good news. The gospel is the goodness of God. The gospel says Jesus is more than enough. The gospel says he loves you. We need to believe on him. And Jesus came to die that he might live in him. And that we might live our life through him. 1 John 4:9. We need a revelation that we get there, have the fruit of his spirit, which includes goodness. We need a revelation that God is with us. We need a revelation that we have an abundant life and through Jesus. He's more than enough. And that he is our good shepherd. We need a revelation that he who did not spare his own son, how much more shall he not freely give us all things? We need a revelation by the Holy Spirit that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal what's been given to us. And then we need to behold it. We need to behold it. We need to have the fruit of the Spirit flow through us. Okay? So that we can see our faith effectual. We shouldn't be beholding the cares of this world. See, there's a difference between beholding the cares of the world and beholding the goodness and nature of God. Which reminds me of Jeremiah, when it talks about the cursed man and the blessed man. The cursed man is trusting in man, himself or others, where the blessed man is trusting in God. The cursed man, it makes his flesh his heart departed from the Lord, for he shall not, like the heath in the desert, and shall not see the good when it comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. He's just existing in the desert. But the blessed man, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and spread out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he comes. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not scarcely be of drought, neither but cease to be fruitful. It's fruitful. The blessed man is fruitful. It's flourishing. See, when I teach this, I talk about how both the blessed man and the cursed man have a blind spot. Excuse me. The cursed man doesn't see the good when it comes. We're talking about the goodness of God. He doesn't see it. The good is there. The goodness of God, the fruit of the Spirit, is always here. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave you or forsake you. He's always here. But we need to have a revelation. We need to be, he doesn't see it. We're talking about beholding his goodness. He's not beholding his goodness. He doesn't see it. Why? He's so focused on man. But the blessed man also has a blind spot. He doesn't see the heat when it comes. Why? Because he's not beholding the cares of this world. His focus is on the goodness of God. His focus is on God, the glory of God. And he's not even being careful in the year of drought. He's not ceasing to be. He's always fruitful. Most of us wonder why we're cursed, because we're cursing ourselves. We are blessed, and we are not cursed. And we need to be focused on his goodness so our faith can become effectual. God is for you, he's not against you. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. Now, I'm a pastor, teacher, and I'm talking to the church. I know many on this Facebook message or wherever it might be playing, on YouTube, whatever. Not everyone listening to me is a Christian. But I'm talking to born-again believers. And if you've received Jesus, you are born again. And if you are born again, you are a good man or woman. Are you following me? If you're born again, if you receive Jesus, you are a good person. Okay? And the good person, out of the treasure of his heart, brings forth what? Good things. Well, what's the treasure? We already established who the good person is, so who's born again. What's the treasure? What treasure do we have to bring forth good things? What treasure do we have? Folks, we have Jesus. There's so many parables of how the kingdom of God is like a treasure. It's like a seed. We have Jesus. We have the Spirit of God. We have love, joy, goodness, kindness, etc. That's treasure. All these aspects of the fruits of the Spirit are treasures. We have it. We have the nature of God. That's a treasure. We have the goodness of God. That's a treasure. We have the glory of God. That's a treasure. We have abundant life. That's a treasure. We have a good shepherd. That's a treasure. We have the Word of God. We have the fullness of God. We'll expand on that briefly more in a minute. I can go on and on and on. We have the goodness of God. We have treasure. Okay? We have so many things that He's been given to us by God. We need to submit to God. What He said, what did He say? Everything I've been teaching all morning and more. We need to submit to that. Yeah. And based on that premise, resist the devil. Many of us are trying to resist the devil, but we're not submitting to the fact that we have Jesus. We're not submitting to the fact that we have the fruit of the Spirit. We're not submitting to the fact that we have the goodness of God, the nature of God. We have an abundant life. He's freely given us all things. We're not submitting to His Word, His promises, to His fullness. We need to submit. We need to behold and submit. And based on that premise, we resist the devil and he will flee. We have a good treasure and a good man. And that good treasure is not your efforts. That good treasure, that's not the good treasure. Okay? It's another treasure. And that treasure is in you. God, Jesus did all these works, did all this goodness because God was with him. God is in you. God is in us. We don't earn it. We didn't earn this treasure. It's not based on us. It was given to us freely. Called grace. His goodness. And we need to acknowledge every good thing that's in us. It's treasure. There's treasure in us. And we become effectual. That treasure is meaningless until we make it effectual. How do we make it effectual? We acknowledge it. Everything we have in Christ, and we have Christ. Okay? We have treasure. We have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus. We have the covenant of God. We have the Word of God. We have the promises of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We have the righteousness of God. We have the power of God. We have the nature of God. We have the goodness of God. We have the love of God, the peace of God, the self-control of God. We have the fullness of God. We have the armor of God. We have the authority of Christ. We have the gift of the Spirit. We have the keys of the kingdom. Shall I go on and on? We have a treasure. And the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. God is good. and he wants us to be blessed, to bring glory. He's a good shepherd. He's given us abundant life. And his mercy and his goodness shall follow me all the day of our lives. Let's go to 2 Peter. Actually, no, let's go to John 15, excuse me. John 15. We'll pick up verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, so there's a condition, we'll come back to that. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. There's a lot here. Let me unpack this. Also, we need to abide in him, and his word abide in us. That's a relationship. Okay? But as we are abiding in him, if we ask, whatever we ask, whatever you desire, that's a pretty blank check. Well, you'd like to say, well, Pastor Dave, it's not just any desire. I didn't talk about lust. We're abiding in him and he in us. If you're abiding in him, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Are you okay? We're feeding on his faithfulness. We're abiding in him, and he's abiding in us. We're feeding on the faithfulness of God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When we get the desires of our heart, when we get our desires, it brings glory to God. The Father is glorified when your prayers are answered. Because your desires become his desires. He's the one that can see them in you. Out of you feeding on his faithfulness, excuse me, out of you delighting in him, as you abide in him and he abides in you, his desires become your desires. And God is glorified when you bear much fruit. See, bearing much fruit is one of the keys to knowing that you are a disciple. I want that to sink in for a moment. One of the evidences that you are a disciple of God is that you're bearing much fruit. It's a sign of discipleship. And one of those, and in context, the fruit is you get what you desire. And you get what you desire, and the desire is contingent on you abiding in God, and God abiding in you. It's fruitfulness. The seed is abiding in the soil, our hearts, and it's fruitful. God is glorified. Why? Because we're feeding on his faithfulness. We're acknowledging every good thing that's in us. And part of that good thing that's in us is desires. And we act and we see those desires come to fruition. And when you get your prayers answered, that's called the goodness of God, and you begin to testify, I have this need, I have desire, and God answered my prayer. You're testifying of the goodness of God as a witness, and God is glorified. See, when you're doing well, you're whole, you're healed, you're prospering, you have compassion for others, you're bearing much fruit. Much fruit also includes the fruit of the Spirit. You're glorifying God. You're being a witness of the goodness of God. And that goodness to the lost will lead them to the repentance. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, starting with chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory glory being the goodness of God, and virtue. Verse 4, by which, having given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world. Okay, let me first of all just say, God is a God of multiplication, of increase. And we have already touched on this morning, but through our knowledge of God, we've already received all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's already given to us. All things. All means all. And it pertains to life and godliness. We also have exceeding, going back real quick, we have exceeding great and precious promises. Okay? I can spend a lot more time on that. But I think you get the point I'm making so far. And if we get both of these things, by the knowledge of God, by knowing Him, a relationship, intimacy with God. Okay? And through knowing Him. And when we talk about getting to know God, who is He? Well, He's love, joy, peace, long suffering, and the nature of God. Moses already saw His glory, and it was the goodness of God. Among many other aspects of that goodness, if you read the whole context of Exodus 33 and 34. Okay? But it also says in verse 4 that we will be partakers of the divine nature. Well, what's His nature? Love, joy, peace, goodness, etc. What's His nature? The goodness of God. So when we get to know God, He gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. Through this knowledge. Okay? Grace and peace are multiplied to us. And we get all the seen great and precious promises. And we get to be partakers of His divine nature. Well, what's His nature? Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, etc. We get to partake of the goodness of God. Why am I highlighting that one? Because that's what we're talking about. He's abiding in you, and you are abiding in Him. In other words, as we get to know God, we get all these benefits, but it's up to us to walk in His promises. It's given to us, but it's not automatic. We need to walk by faith. We need to activate it. But we need to activate it by knowing and beholding His goodness. And once we get a revelation of it, we need to do something with it. We need to use it. We need to use His goodness. There's people to touch. There's people to heal. There's a job to be done. It's up to us to walk in. And not only that, we get to escape the corruption that's in this world. The cares in the world are choking out the Word of God. We get to escape the corruption that's in this world through us. We're glorifying God. We're beholding His goodness. We're activating our faith. And our faith is becoming effectual. And all the promises of God are yes and amen to us. I forgot to use that scripture. I got ahead of myself. I'm trying to catch up. Okay. Let's go to James chapter 1. I'm almost done. I got two more scriptures. And then we're done. I got 2 minutes to get two scriptures in, and I won't do it. But anyway, we'll do the best we can. James chapter 1. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation of shadow. I mean, they're just nips it right in the bud right there. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. You know, there's something about this that says, you know, the scripture talks about how it rains on the just and the unjust alike. And when when every good gift is coming to the just and the unjust alike, that messes up with many religious minds. They're like, how can God's goodness come to those who don't deserve it? Well, none of us deserve it, first of all. We're all disqualified if you want to base it on us. But we're all qualified if we base it on the goodness of God and the blood of Jesus. But don't forget, it's His goodness that leads us to repentance. Okay. If God did not spare his own son, how much more will he not also freely give us all things? This was not based on us. God's grace to die for our sins was not based on something you deserved. If your salvation was not based on what you deserve, how much more would everything else be based on you? But the goodness of God. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us all the things that have been freely given to us by God. Okay? And we need a good man. We bring out the good treasures. We already have them. We just need to know what they are. And we need to bring them out. We should not be miserable. We should not be poor. We should not be lacking. We should not be suffering. We should not be so easily offended. We should not be complaining and stuck. That's not the state of the church. We should be the most joyful, good, kind, gentle, self-controlled people on the planet. We have a vision. We are beholding his goodness that activates our faith, and we need to live. We need to live in the goodness of God. One last scripture. Ephesians 3. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Or actually, before I go ahead, let me go back. This is a prayer of Paul's. This is something he prayed for. So let me go back real quick. I was going to do this too fast. Let me pick it back in verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened, that might, that his Spirit in the inner man. In other words, let me just pick it back in this real quick. God doesn't want you to be weak or being weakened because of the cares of the world, because of things happening in the earth in these last days. He wants you to be strengthened. Okay. Goes on to say, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love. Faith works by love. He wants to be rooted and grounded in his love. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and the depth and height, etc. The full dimension of God's love. Verse 19. That to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a lot of fullness. It goes with the word that we got this morning from the tongue. Let the goodness of God spill out. Why? Because we have his fullness. If you read this in the Amplified, it says that we would be overflowing with the nature of God. With the fullness of God. How do we get the fullness of God? We know, we experience, we're intimate with the love of God that surpasses just head knowledge. We are experiencing the goodness of God. Okay, that we might be filled with his fullness. Remember, I don't have it on the screen. Remember in John 15, we're abiding in him and he's abiding in us. Okay, verse 20, 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's working in us. His power is not dormant. It's working in us. It might be ineffectual. Why is it ineffectual? Because we're not acknowledging every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. Philemon 1:6, which we'll be talking about all morning. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Now, if this isn't talking about the goodness of God, I don't know what verse does. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly, but more than we can ever ask or imagine, according to his goodness, according to his power, his nature, his glory that's working in us. To him be glory in the church. I don't usually capitalize on verse 21 too often. I usually stop there, verse 20, but God wants to do everything I'm talking about this morning, to the church, us, the redeemed of the Lord, let them say so. All the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We have the nature of God in us and through us. And we need to focus on the goodness of God. We need to behold His goodness. Well, I got through that. I know we had some distractions this morning. I apologize for that. But with those distractions, I got to keep preaching. I'm going to have to keep ciphering through that. Again, I'm not going to let the enemy steal my message. I'm focusing on the goodness of God and what He's called me to preach. God bless you guys. You guys have a great week. And I expect to hear good things. Amen. God bless.